Retail Therapy. Welcome back. My name is Will Freeze. Barrett Dudley, how are we doing today?
Oh, Will, I wish I could tell you that that I was doing a little bit better. But I made a crucial error last night. And that is that I drank approximately 3 margaritas without eating dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't eat anything when I got home either, because Howler was having a little party last night.
Okay.
Celebrate a new launch, the Swan Valley Monster capsule collection revolving around the South Fork Lodge in Idaho, co-owned by Jimmy Kimmel and a Howler ambassador, Oliver White. Really dope stuff. I've got a lot of fingerprints on the good, so go check that out if you haven't already.
Congrats on the launch.
Thank you. But yeah, the party started at 7 and I just like rolled right, you know, I just worked late, rolled that right into a little frozen marg at Taco Flats. And then we had Ranch Riders at the party and I like ate like some chips and queso, but then like made no time to actually eat anything of real substance. And I'm hurting a little bit today.
There's, you know, when it comes to a no dinner hangover.
Yeah.
Like, there's always the running thing of like, oh, after 27, your hangovers get terrible, mm-hmm, after whatever. Mm-hmm. But like the one guarantee that you can make is that if you don't eat something at this age, we're going to be done for.
It's not good. And it's all about the timing, because you can't really, like, one of the reasons why I didn't eat when I got home is because I was like, it's over. Like, it's over for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not going to, it's not going to fix the decision that I made.
It might have helped.
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's like, it's such a timing thing for me.
Before bed?
You have to set a base. You have to set a base.
Did you do anything before bed to stop the hangover from coming in? You chug some water, take some Advil?
I drank some water.
Okay.
That was it.
Okay.
And then today I was like, here's the other thing. I'm not sure that like that junk food is working as a hangover cure anymore.
That's never worked for me.
Like I did like a breakfast taco from Swedish Hill, and then I had Chick-fil-A for lunch, and I still feel the need to like swing by Juiceland or something.
I have never in my life been able to cure a hangover with greasy food. Yeah. It always weighs me down. It makes me feel much worse than I did before. It makes me feel nauseous. I have to eat something light, something fresh, something whatever, and it's honestly a curse.
Yeah.
I would love to just be able to go to the closest cheeseburger and eat it, but I can't do that. It's tough out there.
So if I'm a little slow on the mic today or on the links, I apologize.
Okay.
But that's just sometimes that's the way it goes.
That's okay. That's okay. You know? I last night I had 2 Pacificos while eating my grilled vegetables out of a Low Bowl.
Okay.
Major shout out to Low Bowls. I think that's episode 002 of Retail Therapy. I've kind of been just on a max 3 beer kick lately, and I'm kind of loving it.
Yeah.
You changed my life when we did an In-N-Out episode, and you just started talking about light lagers. Much like Emrata changed my take on socks, ever since, if I have the option, I look at the beers and I think, you know what? A light lager sounds great.
I got real juiced up before 420 weekend. And I like, you know, I headed to the local grocer, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do 420 in my own way. I'm gonna get some good hazies.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah, a little. Mm-hmm. I jumped back on that hazy IPA.
Why'd you do that?
And I picked 2 that I was unfamiliar with. They didn't hit hard, Will. I'm like, if it's not Electric Jellyfish, it's like I don't even want it. And I got through about 4 of the 12 beers that I had purchased before bringing them to the office and donating them to the office fridge. And I replaced them with some Singha, just a little Thai lager.
There you go.
And that it's hitting so much better.
There you go.
I am still, for those wondering, yes, I am still on that lager grind as well. That's just what hits.
I had to go support the lads, and I went to Austin FC a couple weeks ago. And I went in, I hadn't eaten anything that day. And I thought to myself, you know what? A draft beer during this game sounds great. And I saw this Voodoo Ranger Juicy IPA, and I was like, "Ooh, that sounds real nice on this kind of balmy day." And sure enough, after 2 of them, I started to just feel like hell. And I was like, "Yep, I'm retired. I'm retired. I need some low ABV cocktails in my life."
Yeah.
Should we get out of the official business out of the way? We got a stacked episode.
Right. Yeah.
First and foremost, today I'm going to talk to you about our scented candle. I had a nice little meeting yesterday with our friends over at Velabox to discuss some stuff. We do have some remaining stock of our first ever scented candle at velabox.com/sundayscaries. We've sent over some materials to the Velabox team so they can start working on our summertime candle. Mm. And I'm very excited about what's going down, Barrett. We also have all the other candles available as well. Some of the candles are even marked down, and there's going to be some more marked down. Okay. And I have to say, this might be the last time you can get certain candles in the collection. So if you're a fan of maybe some of the ones that are not as prevalent.
You're putting them out to pasture.
Putting them out to pasture. Yeah. It's time to usher in a new generation.
Yeah.
Yep. So just go do that. But yeah, buy the ones now. Buy the 001 suede now because it's probably going to go away after some time. And it'll come back. It'll always be in stock. But go check that out. Go follow Retail Pod on Instagram at retail.pod. And you can watch all episodes at youtube.com/sundayscariespodcast. But without further ado, let's hear from our friends over at Mugsy. Mugsy makes damn comfortable clothing for guys everywhere. They started by reinventing jeans in 2015, and now they make the best jeans, chinos, tops, and joggers ever. They work exclusively with designers and manufacturers around the world to deliver the finest quality fabrics directly to your door, and their entire goal is to make life more comfortable at work, at the bar, on the golf course, wherever you are, by giving you one place to shop. They got buttery soft patented stretch materials that look stylish but are insanely comfortable, never too baggy, never too tight. They've got over 18,000 five-star reviews from dudes pretty much everywhere. And I've got some of their stuff as well. They've got more than just denim. You can get crew necks that are clean, t-shirts, everything. It truly is a one-stop shop, and first-time customers can get 20% back on their first order right now. All you need to do is head to Mugsy.com, enter your email, and the discount is automatically added to your cart. That's 20% back on the only jeans and pants you will ever see or ever wear again. Free shipping, free returns on every single order. So the only risk is never knowing how great they truly are. We got to talk Met Gala.
Yeah.
Got to talk Met Gala. It's always fun to have a Monday night event, something to look forward to watch on television. Unfortunately, I did not get to see much of the red carpet this year as I was busy. And so I was just really just pouring through photos online.
Yeah, it's really all you need, though, these days. Mm-hmm. For the first time in many years, I like was kind of on top of my game enough to have like E's red carpet coverage on so that I could see, you know, the people arriving. I could see some of the red carpet looks. I could see people walk up the stairs. And it's fun. It's fun. It really is interesting, though, how, you know, over the last 5 years, the Met Gala has just become like, it's essentially just like a costume party.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's a $30,000 costume party.
Yeah. What's the $30,000 about it?
That's what it costs to get in, I think.
Oh, if you're not invited.
Yes, most of the tickets are covered by brands that are, you know, that have celebrities wearing their stuff. But if you actually just wanted to go, and I don't know how you would even get access to, you know, paying the $30,000.
Okay.
But if you're not getting sponsored by a brand to go in, I believe it's $30,000, and I think they buy out tables for like $150,000.
Okay, but you have to be. Okay, this is interesting. Now we're peeling back the curtain a little bit. Don't you also have to be invited by Anna Wintour
or
like one of the co-chairs?
I would assume that you can't just cough up $30,000 and show up. Like you can't just have like Kid Rock down $30,000.
No, maybe you could.
Yeah, now, maybe
if you,
you
do
could.
That, I don't think you. I still don't think you get to walk the red carpet though.
I don't know.
There's so many. You see what I'm saying though? Mm-hmm. There's so many different like access points here.
Well, you could probably walk the red carpet. It's just no one's going to call your name to come talk to you. You might just be one of the people in the background wearing something ridiculous.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I think the goal would be to wear something wild enough that you can get that notoriety and turn that $30,000 into a career.
Okay. But you see what I'm saying? Because like, I always thought that, you know, like, who was it? There was a model on E, her name's slipping my mind right now. She's married to the Kings of Leon guy, or was at least. She was talking about how the first time that she was ever invited, like Anna Wintour called her team and was like, we want you there. We want you at the Met Gala. It was Monday. It was like Monday morning, basically. It was Monday afternoon. She was on her way to the dentist, she said. She just had the car turn around. She went straight to the Vogue offices. They dressed her. They put her they put her in the show, basically.
Gotta go.
You know what I mean?
The phone call. You gotta go.
Yeah. So but if there are brands that can buy the slots, then can they put any celebrity there, or do they have to be approved by that? That's just my question. Is like, who has ultimate say over who is there? Is it Anna and the co-chairs, or is it partially, you know, the brands who have kind of purchased the slots as well? So
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking now. Like, there are certain people who are just banned from going.
Yes.
Some of the people banned from going on this current list that I'm looking at, one of them was at this year's. So I'm not going to.
Who's that?
This might not actually be banned. I think this also includes people who said, like, I'm never going to the Met Gala ever again. It was Demi Lovato, but I'm pretty sure I saw her on the.
She definitely was there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw her on the red carpet. Did I mess up her pronouns?
I think she's a she again.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure. Let's talk about the best looks.
Yeah.
I'm very male fashion heavy here because I thought that I actually didn't think there were that many misses this year. Like, I think the theme opened itself up to being pretty like whatever, but there were a lot of guys that I was just like, you know what? I really like it. And my top one was Daniel Levy. He had the Loewe suit on, and the more that I started looking at this, the more I was into it. And then the more you zoom in, like the more you're just like, oh my God, the detail of this suit.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable detail with just like he got dipped into a little passion of flowers.
It's a little dip dye, you
like,
know.
There's something about it that I really like. I don't know what it is, but like I would never wear this to anything but like something like the Met Gala. But I looked at this and I was like, you know what? If I was in a room with a bunch of stuff and I was going to the Met Gala and this was a theme, I think I might actually roll with this right now.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You're not going to see any best dressed on my list that's like Jimmy Fallon wearing like a nicely cut tuxedo.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
Maybe if that's your brand and you've been to the Met Gala 10 times, okay, fine. But it like, man, first time
but
to the Met Gala.
But also,
like
if
I was ever to get invited, even if I was like a burgeoning celebrity and like suddenly I've got my shot, like I'm going balls to the wall.
Yeah.
On this.
Yeah. And like, but also if you're a comedian, don't you just do a bit? Like, I don't like Jimmy Fallon, you're a funny guy. Like, well, you're funny to some people. Like, just do the bit.
Somebody needs to do the Dave. Somebody needs to do the little Dickie.
Yes,
and go,
exactly.
Go blow up the, or go in a blow up suit.
Yeah.
That expands to
It's hard to watch the Met Gala now without thinking of the Dave episode. If you've ever seen the Dave episode, it's like, yeah, the separation is just not there. I also liked Lewis Hamilton's necklace. Like, he just had a barbed wire diamond necklace, and I just thought it was hard.
Yeah.
I usually don't agree with a lot of his fashion decisions just because he's so out there when it comes to how he dresses. But I was like, I was very, very happy with what he was doing.
Yeah. Far be it for me to, you know, to slander a fellow short king, but I don't love Lewis Hamilton's looks typically.
He just dresses like he's very, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, he likes clothes that are much like very oversized for him. So that doesn't make it relatable for me because I don't really, I can't wear that kind of size.
I mean, honestly, that's probably why I generally don't like it, is because I feel like it makes him look small.
It does. It does give him the appearance of looking small. Will Welch, I believe editor in chief of
GQ.
GQ. Yeah. I loved what he was doing. He took the basic of it and just was like, all right, I'm going oversized and, velvet, and I'm going to look like I'm the comfiest person at the Met Gala today.
Yeah, this is okay for me. Will Welch is a very tall guy, and yet this suit still somehow looks a little like I think it's the bottoms. I think the bottoms are a little too voluminous through like the thigh and the knee.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that criticism.
And it's just looking a little bit too sacky.
Okay. Okay, I'll take that.
And I also thought another guy that I think kind of went overboard with the cut of the suit was Donald Glover. I didn't love his.
It made him look really frumpy.
Yeah,
I don't think he's a frumpy guy.
He's not a frumpy guy.
It aged him a lot, and I don't know. Yeah, but he seemed to accomplish a look that was very unique to whatever he was striving for. But I didn't understand where it fit into the.
Who do we know who was doing these Will Welch suits?
I don't know. Yeah. Let me look it up and see.
Just kind of throwing some females up here. You had, I don't want to botch the name. Is it Anouk Yai?
I think, I don't know how to say her first name. She's a model. And I, for some reason, I just loved this. I loved that it wasn't a dress. You know, there's always someone that'll wear like a pantsuit to like a black tie wedding. And I always think that person is usually like trying to be fashion forward and accomplishes it. And there was something about this one that just was like, I would love being at the Met Gala and seeing her walk by. It'd be like, that was a little like that's a fairy that just walked by. That's
it's
cool.
Giving mystique.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's good. X-Men. It's really good.
Who else we got on here?
Let me see.
Back to the boys. You've got a little note about him down here. So let's cover it. But My guy Jeremy Strong was killing it.
He's killing it, but I don't know if I would say he's killing it if anyone else did what he did.
But he's the thing that you have to remember about Mr. Strong is that he's the eldest boy.
He is the eldest boy.
He's the eldest
boy. He's the eldest boy.
And he must be respected as such.
He hit him with the mustache and the earring combo. Like, he never seemed to smile into the camera. Like, Jeremy Strong is so unintentionally hilarious to me that I will always love him.
Do you remember when he said, I mean, it's like, all you need to know about this guy is that in a Succession behind the scenes explainer, he used the word dramaturgically.
Yes.
And that's all you need to know about.
I forget the name of his play, but whatever play he's doing in New York, I would absolutely love to try to get tickets to that and just book a trip around it and go see it. It'd be really fun to see him in person doing the play. And then there's someone else in the play too, who's very
bunch of celebs. Famous. Is it? Oh, I know Rachel McAdams is in a play right now.
Our plays in, hot. In Are they on our in list for summer?
Probably, honestly. Yeah. Theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
There was a controversial look on the red carpet.
There was.
Will.
There was.
I don't, you know, do you want to take a guess at who wore a controversial look?
I'm going to say it was Nicole Kidman.
Ooh.
She looks great.
Swing and a miss.
Nicole Kidman did look great, though. I liked her look.
Shockingly, it was Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. Okay. Here's my take on it. If I didn't see her moving, I think it's cool. I understand the criticism of people being like, she's always trying to show that she's tiny, like blah, blah, blah. I actually don't really understand the criticism, because I would never describe Kim Kardashian as someone who tries to showcase her tininess in life. Like, usually she's pretty out there with her curves and stuff, but she's done corsets before. She just doesn't look comfortable and she can't walk in it.
Yeah. People are big mad about this because of the people that are upset believe that this is bad for women's body image, especially for young girls, because nobody has a waist like this and hips that do this. And that this is basically like just like taking like the unfair societal beauty standards that we set for women and like putting it on steroids.
Yeah.
And just like making it a complete, you know, this is not physically possible.
No. You shouldn't be able to wear this.
My rebuttal to that is that nobody in their right mind thinks that this is physically possible.
No.
Like, this is very clearly aided by a woman, not only with millions and millions and millions of dollars, so every access to personal chef, private training, all the best surgeons, everything like that. But then she's also spent the last decade like waist training and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think this is so far removed from what anybody actually looks like that it's...
Yeah.
It's way less, like, I don't find this offensive what she's doing here, because it's not even like, I don't even think that this is a standard. I think this is a look for
it's an art piece.
For the sake of the look. On the pure aesthetics of it, I thought she looked great. I thought the dress was awesome. I don't know why the cardigan works, but it does.
I can't speak to the inspiration behind this because I forget, but the,
I thought her hair looked good.
The inspiration that they were drawing from had the cardigans involved. Like, that, okay. It wasn't some choice that they just made for her. It wasn't covering something up. Like, the inspiration that they got was they were all wearing these nubby kind of like old looking cardigans. And so, like, while I don't get it necessarily, there was a reason for it. And so that is what it is.
She also apparently these heels right here, these big block heels, had no heel.
She couldn't walk in them, right?
She could barely walk in them.
Yeah.
She's basically standing on tiptoe on blocks.
Yeah, I saw a quick video of her moving, and it was like, oh, she's not moving quickly. Like, this is not going well.
So she really, you know, really bringing the old idiom that, what is it? Beauty is pain?
Mm-hmm.
Really bringing that to life. And, you know, I nobody should look at this and be like, ah, yes, that's what a body should look like.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's true.
Just chill out. Nobody thinks that.
And if you're basing anything off Kim Kardashian, stop.
Just don't. Do you know what the reference was?
I don't remember what it was.
No. Mm-mm. Now I have to look this up. I thought that I had. I think she told one of the reporters on the side. She was like, "Oh, it's just like you just walked out of your boyfriend's house and you just threw on the cardigan because that's all that was there, and you needed something on top, and like I heard that and I was like,
if you're the stylist, okay, well, you're like,
that doesn't make a ton of sense.
Don't say that
for that dress, but
or the theme cool. or anything.
Did you think it worked though? Like the cardigan with the
yeah. I didn't. To be honest, I didn't look at it twice when I first saw it, and I didn't really think much of it until I saw that people were hating on it. So I was kind of numb to it at that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about Kylie?
Boring, kind of.
Really? Okay.
I don't know. She looks fine. She looks good. It's just not as exciting.
Maybe I'm a bit jaded because of the one time at the Met Gala when she wore Off-White and she wore like the backwards hat with the veil. And just like one of the worst Met Gala outfits of all time. And I thought she looked pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
Here.
But like, there's not, she could have worn this to any red carpet. Right. You wouldn't really look twice.
No, you wouldn't have blinked twice if she had worn this to the Oscars, for example. Yeah. Right. Like it's very, the bust is like very, kind of exaggerated and clearly like a focal point with the kind of old school, pointiness happening there. But it is very like, it's old Hollywood. It's basically old Hollywood.
Yeah.
With a bit of like a Madonna thing happening.
Does she get, she probably gets Oscars invites, right? She did get an Oscars invite because she was kissing on Timothy Chalamet this year.
Was that
Golden Globes. I forget which one.
I think that was Globes.
But if she's got a baby with Chalamet, which has been rumored, like she's going to go to all the Oscars.
She was showing off flat abs like 4 days ago, though.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know if
they said she deaded those rumors.
Yeah, that clears out. That clears out.
Although, haven't the Kardashians been known to use surrogates as well?
Yeah, so. Kim used a surrogate. I mean, congratulations to Hailey Bieber.
Ah, yes.
On their child. Yes. Yep. Happy Hailey Mother's Day. Happy Mother's
Day.
Do you
think that they are, because speaking of rumors, the rumors with them was that marriage was in a rough spot.
Yeah, I thought they were done.
So do you think that this is like our baby's going to save the baby saving the marriage play?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think that they're just like, they just think they're like made for each other?
I feel like there's a whole conspiracy. Well, there's a conspiracy that they were only getting married so Justin Bieber could get a green card, and that time was going to be up soon, which meant their relationship could end soon. And so, like, I was like, you know what? If it's going to do it, like, there's been all these rumors, there's been all this tumultuous stuff. You know, he's posting vague photos of himself crying, etc. And so I was like, maybe the conspiracy is correct. And then suddenly, I saw something with like 100,000 comments on it, and I thought there was going to be like a breakup thing. And then I realized that she was having a baby, and I was like, okay, never mind.
Will, you have Kieran Culkin on here.
I had him on here just because he seemed like he was having the most fun at the Met Gala.
I had not seen this. I love this.
Yeah, it's cool. And he had a matching thing with his wife. They were walking around all buddy. Like, they looked like they were the most in love people at the Met Gala. He did a lot for himself this week.
Yeah, this is good. I like this.
Yeah.
This is tasteful and really looks good, but also fits the theme. You know, you get a little sparkle with the jewels instead of the tie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling this.
Yeah,
I'm really feeling this.
And he had on bracelet, like he had on the Sarah Snook bracelet that he wears all the time, apparently, because they're like best friends, and she's got one with his name on it, and like people were just loving him. His stock is through the roof right now in terms of just a lot of stuff.
Doja Cat went with the Vetmon wet t-shirt.
She hit him with the wet t-shirt contest.
Did they? Now, is this pure art? Is this just a dress that looks like it's wet, or did they just dump water on her?
I think it's actually wet.
Yeah.
I think it's actually wet. When I first saw this, I didn't like it. The more that I started thinking about it, I was like, I understand this, and it makes sense that somebody would do this. I think I just didn't like it because I think Doja Cat's just had some stuff recently that I haven't really loved.
Okay.
But
as far as performance, as far as
just
as
so like, I don't songs, know. I always read things about her. And whenever I get done reading it, I'm like, why is Doja Cat so weird? Like she makes really weird decisions. Like I don't really totally get her. But I actually thought it was a cool look, and I think it makes sense. Like it is kind of statuesque and cool. And
yeah.
Yeah. Tom Ford, not wearing Tom Ford.
Who was he wearing?
He was wearing some other giant men's designer.
Okay.
But I don't know. Like, there are people talking about whether or not it was weird that he was doing it. And I, like, if you're a designer, do you want to wear your thing? I mean,
well, it's not weird. And it's not that weird because he's not the designer at Tom Ford anymore.
There you go. So is that a slight?
No. He's
no, no. Is that a slight towards who is designing Tom Ford? No.
Oh. No.
To not?
I don't think so, because I don't think they ousted him. I'm pretty sure he just like, I think he divested. I think he sold.
Yeah. Okay.
He's
from Texas, right?
He is from Texas.
Where is he from? Did he grow up in Texas?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I feel like no one talks about that.
I know that because of the House of Gucci movie.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Like there. Like, I feel like there's all these, you know, Texan people that people always talk about. Yeah. And like, I just don't think many people know that he's from Texas.
Have you ever seen the movie that he directed, Nocturnal Animals?
No, I want to see it.
It's good.
It's just one of those things that I forget about. But like, if a designer's doing a movie, it's got to be somewhat, it's got to have somewhat of a different angle than a normal director.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I'm pretty sure that he is. We'll figure out what happened. I can look it up in a second. But yeah, I don't think he is no longer the creative director or head designer of Tom Ford.
Okay.
And okay. So I think that just gives him kind of, he's like, now I get to wear other stuff.
I don't think it's that weird to not wear your own stuff.
Here's the other thing that's not that weird is I don't know who designed this, but this just looks, it looks like Tom Ford.
It does. I thought it was Tom Ford. I truly thought it was going to be that when I saw the pic. And then it was only like a tweet later that kind of opened my eyes to that. I have some concerns about Barry.
Yeah, Will, you're not the first.
Betty?
That and Randy, that may be the last time that Barry gets the gong. Laura asked me if we needed to revoke Barry's baby girl status based on his Met Gala fit alone, where he looked like
You can't base it off of a themed event. He looked like Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka. That, yes,
it's not good, but like I hesitate to revoke anyone's card for an event where you're supposed to make a splash. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right to me, but I will drag you for your after party fit. And this is not it.
Will, let's bring up, let's look at the party outfit.
That's what I would do.
This is giving Randy. It's great.
I believe this was Burberry. God, I don't know. I just don't know.
I think I'm just realizing that I might just be on different waves. And it's fine.
I think we got to revoke. I think he was given baby girl status too quickly.
Yeah, we might have started. A little cocky.
I think we jumped the gun.
He got the salt burn bump.
Yeah,
he did. He got the salt burn bump. He got the naked dance bump. I'm a Barry fan, but he's too weird to be baby girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Officially cross him off the list?
I'm going to let Will have the final say.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
I think we put Barry on. He's off probation. He just needs to make some changes.
All right. Off the list.
Is he
too much of a bad boy? I feel like he's a bad boy.
He's just a little too quirky, man.
Yeah.
Look how he's standing. Look how he's standing rolled up on his heels like that.
Yeah.
Rolled up on the side of his shoes like
that. I'm not going to stop paying attention to him by any means, though.
Like,
if anything, I'm going to start paying more attention to him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's under a microscope now for me.
But
I have someone that I'd like to bring to the table who might actually fit baby girl status.
Yeah, okay.
Andrew Scott. Andrew Scott's been in a lot. I think a lot of people mostly know him from, like, Fleabag. Were you a Fleabag guy?
I was.
Fleabag. Have you watched the actual live performance?
No.
It's really cool. I don't know if it's still on Amazon, but it was on there for a little bit. And if you've seen the show, it's really cool to go back and see like this one woman performance and how impressive she is just doing it. It's really cool. The reason I ask is not because of anything stylistically that he's done as of late, because most of the time he's just showing off his arms, but he really seems to be like universally liked everybody.
I think
it's in the conversation. He's definitely in the geriatric baby girl section, but that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, like they need company too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm putting him on my watch list.
On the watch list.
Yeah.
On the baby girl watch list.
He just needs a couple moves in the next few months to really set himself aside. But yeah, I'm interested.
Promoting somebody is making me feel better about relegating somebody. So
that should be the rule. Yeah. That should be the rule. It's got to be a very exclusive society. One in, one out of the door. It's our own little baby girl club.
I'm here for, I'm going to give Andrew Scott a good look this week and maybe do a little research, see if people are, see if the streets are kind of maybe like murmuring with a little baby girl.
I mean, he did a movie with Paul Mezcal, and so he has the Mezcal bump. He's got the Mezcal bump. I just think he's got it. I think he has what it takes. And so I think we're just going to start paying more attention to him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Met Gala?
I feel good about it. I don't have a photo to whip up real quick, but I liked Minnie Kaling's dress.
Yeah.
It had like a bit, it was big and
hers was the first one that I saw and I was like, oh, we're in for a good night.
Yeah. I do think that the theme was nice this year. It seemed kind of like, you didn't have to try too hard to be on theme.
Yeah.
And that had the reverse effect, though, that some people looked almost too costumey, I thought.
Yeah.
And for example, I didn't love co-chair Zendaya. I didn't love her first look.
I'll be honest. I almost made a note that I didn't like her first look at all. And I didn't want to drag Zendaya.
Yeah. Since I've brought up Zendaya, Challengers is taking over the internet. I can't get away from it. It was not like a movie that I was definitely going to go see, but now we definitely have to go see Challengers. I think as the co-host of Retail Therapy, I don't think that we can miss Challengers.
I've not seen it yet.
Yeah.
It's only in theaters currently.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do what I need to do.
Yeah.
I'll do what I need to do.
We can figure out if it's quickly making its way to streaming, but if it's not, I might have to pop in and see it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm in. I need to go see it. Can we talk Liam Gallagher? We've got some news from over the pond on a couple different fronts right now. But Liam Gallagher, monks are in right now based on the chartreuse conversation from last episode. And Liam Gallagher is trying to live like a monk in a $17,000 Cotswolds cabin. My first ever exposure to, not cabin, probably estate. My first ever exposure to England was actually the Cotswolds. And I've always wanted to go back ever since we went there in fifth grade. And now just seeing that Liam Gallagher's there, just like absolutely crushing it. And he's vowed to live like a monk for some reason, but he doesn't do anything that's monk-like to me. If you follow him on Twitter, you know that he's just tweeting through Manchester City games and calling people words that I'm not going to say on air. he recently came out and said that he can drink 20 pints of Guinness in one sitting.
Okay.
He just needs some, potatoes to freshen him up every three, which I kind of respect.
So what exactly is he doing that?
I think it's just that he has a meditation room.
Okay.
I think he just meditates and is getting off the grid. There's a lot of rumors that Oasis might be getting back together in some form or fashion.
Wow.
If they did that, I would be very, very quick to travel to a concert because I don't think they'd be in Austin, Texas. But I would love to go. I would love to go to an Oasis Back Together show.
Well, look, I know that the Gallaghers were the two brothers and founders of band Oasis.
Mm-hmm.
But did they make that much money off of Oasis?
Yeah, I think they did.
Like they were, I guess that was still a time when you could just be like the biggest band in the world for 5 years and you're just set for life.
Yeah, they were they were huge. And I think even though they were huge over here, like they were generationally huge in the UK too. And so okay. I think they probably made a ton.
Like 17,000 pounds a month on rent for your mansion is, that's, you've got some cash.
Significant. Yeah, yeah. Significant. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how to feel about it.
Like any vows of silence or celibacy from?
I don't think that he's built like that. I think if anything, he talks and has sex way too often, and probably gets himself into trouble.
Yeah.
But we do have even bigger news, Randy. Bukayo Saka and Ame Leon Dor have officially collabed for a New Balance soccer cleat,
a boot, if you will,
a boot. I'm very happy about this. Saka was featured in their soccer collection.
For the 991, yep.
Yeah, and I thought it was really smart of them to include him, not just to include like an actual soccer player in order to get that kind of relevancy, but I thought he was a very smart choice out of pretty much anyone they could have chosen. There aren't a lot of people who are more popular when it comes to, the young players coming up. I think he's just a really good choice for it. He's very likable unless you're a Tottenham fan or a Chelsea fan, because
he's Arsenal, right?
Yeah, he's Arsenal. I did make a huge mistake recently, Barrett, and I'd like to come clean on this. I recently said that Arsenal was Nike. They're not Nike. They haven't been Nike for a really long time. They've been Adidas, and so I that's embarrassing. I was hoping that no one would call me out for it, but I was quickly called out.
Mm-hmm.
They launched the video this morning on the Ame Leon Dor and New Balance football page, and I have to say I love it. I think they crushed it. I think he looks great. I was very surprised to see Ame Leon Dor having an actual like sponsored sneaker with a professional player of his level.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
It's a really impressive play for them.
Yeah.
Do you think England is a major, like, is that their next thing? Like they want to try to own England in some way? Because the London store opening.
Here's all I'm going to say, Will. But we had Cake Not Crumbs, AKA Reese, on this podcast. Mm-hmm. He wasn't super familiar with Ame.
No.
We talked to him about it. We talked to him about the London store opening. He's been covering it very closely since then.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that Retail Therapy made Ame happen.
We made it.
In the UK.
We made
that
it.
That is what I'm
We made
what,
it.
What I'm insinuating. Yeah. Yeah.
I just can't. I'm like, I, This is a really big deal. Like the top players' boots, they mean a lot to people. Like Jude Bellingham's wearing some real throwback ones for Real Madrid right now. And like every time I see him play, I'm like, that is so cool that he's wearing the cleats that I would want to wear right now if I was doing it.
Yeah.
And it's just impressive.
I do think that the UK is the spot for Ame. It definitely seems to be pushing that direction with so much of the soccer influence that they're kind of, you know, kind of referencing and going towards. That is where their second store is. And that seems like a natural, it seems like a natural step for them.
Yeah.
Because, sport, they are heavily focused on sport. That's a big reference point for them. The UK, also a major sporting country. That's where, I don't know, I feel like the people in the UK that are paying attention to all this stuff, they've got brands like this that they already like, Stone Island, Palace, that are UK based, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it makes sense. Whereas does Paris make as much sense?
No,
I don't think so.
No, because we're not, it's not visible to us,
right?
Like if you're, I almost feel like. London's just more visible to the US consumer, especially the casual consumer or guys like us who just kind of follow fashion and whatever. It's just a little more approachable than something from Paris would be. And I think it does just make a lot more sense. Like the way that they did the Sunny collections when it comes to, pickup basketball and stuff like that. It's the same kind of culture over in the UK for soccer. And right. So it makes total sense to me that this would be something that they could do. Now, if they want to do a Sunny collection, that's, a soccer one. I would love to see something they could do with that.
Yeah. My guess for store number three, if I had to just guess on strategy and kind of following this train of thought, would be Tokyo, because they're also so influenced by Ralph Lauren and by Americana, a kind of old school prep. That's what, the whole Japanese Americana thing exists. Like that makes a ton of sense. And then there are natural ties into sports in Japan as well.
Yeah.
So that, and that's, if any, it wouldn't move the needle. Anybody has a shop in Tokyo.
They also know their audience, and they know that dudes like us would be fiending to go to Tokyo to go see that shop.
Yeah.
If they opened a shop in Milan, that's not moving the needle for anybody to go to Milan.
No.
If they opened a shop, it just doesn't make sense. Like they have so many,
Tokyo exclusives would be, doing dumb numbers on Grailed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they have so many Greek influences in everything too, that there's nowhere in Greece you could open a store and have it move the needle for people. It's gotta be Tokyo. Good call.
Yeah. What's next?
Bottles of wine. When's the last time you ordered a bottle of wine at a restaurant?
Well, it's been honestly a long time.
I did something recently.
Probably on 2023, I think.
I did something recently. I don't know why, but certain red wines have been giving me some nausea lately, late in the meal. And Sally and I are going out to dinner one night, and I told her before we were going out to dinner we were going with another couple, and I said, hey, if no one really wants wine and you're going to have wine, I don't think we need to get a bottle, because I don't really want to drink some overpriced bottle of wine that only you and I would be drinking from, and we just don't need to worry about it. Sure enough, we go get a bottle of wine. It costs an arm and a leg. I don't drink any of it. And I'm like, oh my God, why does wine cost so much? Well, sure enough, a new website and Instagram account that I've really been enjoying is Punch Drink. I think it's Punch_Drink on Instagram. They were getting served to me a lot, but the more that I started following them, the more that I think they're a valuable follow for any retail therapy people out there. Okay. They have a lot of,
sold.
They have good takes on cocktails. They've got good ideas for cocktails. They have a really good article that I wanted to talk about, but I didn't think it would be that good of a segment, about making strong drinks crushable. So they have spritz versions of certain kind of drinks, and they have a tall dirty martini kind of spritz, which I don't know if I would like it, but they have a good view of things. But they recently did an article that says, wait, the cheapest bottle of wine, or the cheapest bottle on the wine list costs how much? And this all makes sense to me. I feel like things have gone up so much to the point that I don't even remember when bottles of wine on wine lists were $40.
Yeah.
I'm going to read a couple passages from here just to give some of the better parts from this article right to you. But it said, we were looking at glass shortages during bottle processes. Corks got more expensive. French oak was hard to find. Winemakers had to up their prices just to get their stuff out the door. These days, a restaurant markup anywhere between 3 and 4 times at wine's cost, or a wine's cost price, a wines at cost price, what the distributor charges, is fairly standard. And while restaurateurs and wine buyers aren't exactly thrilled by the metric, it's become commonplace across New York establishments, which are paying increasing minimum wage, food costs, rent prices, employee benefits. So they're just going up because of the natural just lift of everything.
Yep.
But they had a quote in here that is very retail therapy. Said, have you ever seen a trend grow as quickly as the espresso martini? It's wild, notes Theo Lieberman, beverage director at Pascal Jones, along with the rest of Delicious Hospitality's group's restaurants. Quote, 5 years ago, I'd never seen anyone drink an espresso martini, and now it's like, if you're not drinking one, are you actually at a restaurant? And truthfully, I think the cocktail has done an unbelievable amount to pull people away from wine. I think that's very true.
Yeah.
This no longer sit down and order a bottle of wine at dinner. It's now like, does anybody want wine? Should we get a bottle? This side of the table is going to have some. And I feel like people are just going more cocktail heavy. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't going more cocktail heavy because the wine is so overpriced.
It's a really good point. And I don't think that I totally made that connection, but I've experienced something similar as what you described with the red wine. Red wine has not been sitting well with me for the last 6 months. And I don't know if it just like, it got this big surge over the pandemic where like alcohol didn't seem to really have an effect on you one way or the other. Like there weren't hangovers.
It was just, we
were just blessed by this weird, you know, aura in the air that allowed us to crush drinks and seemingly not really pay for it.
It wasn't, and
I was drinking a lot of red wine, you know, 2020 to 2022, 2023, basically. It's keeping me up at night. It's doing weird shit like that. And so I've pivoted hard to drinking a lot more white wine. And that has stopped me from ordering bottles of wine at restaurants, because typically it's like, I don't know, like red is kind of like the night out wine. Mm-hmm. Not everybody wants white.
Yeah.
The cocktail thing is a great call. It's really, really smart. It's like, yes, wine has gotten crazy expensive. It's not sitting as well. I don't think I want an entire bottle. So like I'm switching to drinks.
Yeah. I never order a bottle of wine these days. Randy's smirking so much over here. What's wrong with you?
Let me put my snoot fully in there. People are doing cocktails. Yes, someone was ahead of the curve.
Okay, not your cocktails. Are doing your blue Hawaiian. What do you call it?
Blue Hawaiian. There's actually Blue Hawaii and a Blue Hawaiian. They're similar drinks, but they're different.
Okay.
But
okay.
Either way.
Randy, yeah. have you had the Chili's espresso martini yet?
No, that was great. God. That was great. That was my favorite. Are you talking about the meme that's been going around?
Yeah, that has like 60 coffee beans in it.
Yeah.
Well, somebody said that was a Spromart at Chili's.
Spromart, yeah.
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 You know, Chili's did add it to the menu. They did add an espresso martini to the menu.
I once ordered a dirty martini from Chili's at Randy's dinner. I did it as a bit.
Which is not on the menu.
The bartender came out, made me a dirty martini, and he came out from behind the bar and came to our table and said, "That's the first one I've ever made. How was it?" I looked at him and I was like, it was good. Like, it wasn't the best martini I've ever had, but it was pretty good.
Okay. That's,
but I mean, just honestly, love the fact that I got to, like, that Chili's has been there for a long time. Am I really the first person in that long to, since he started, to order one?
I guess so.
Sure enough.
But yeah, cocktail. Sure enough.
Well,
but yeah, this is, I just want to touch on two local restaurants to emphasize this. I think we've talked about both, at least one. There's a restaurant relatively new here called Elementary, which has a great vibe and a great atmosphere. And I think we enjoyed the food to maybe slightly different degrees, but they have great cocktails, awesome cocktails, and they had a really, really, really approachable wine list, which was impressive because it's a nice small plates type of place. Like it's relatively expensive. And so it was a shock to see bottles like our article on Punch Drink is here is talking about that were in that kind of $40 to $60 range.
Yeah. Did you get the paper plane while you were there?
I did not.
Oh, it's great. Next time you're there, get the paper plane.
I got their special espresso martini.
You get a little show at the table.
Okay. All right. They've got a special espresso martini that's like
Elementary and awesome. Amazing. It's a fun restaurant.
Yeah,
it's literally elementary school themed.
It's very fun. The other one is Underdog, which is like this Korean food / wine bar. And it's the first time I went, you know, I was ordering a shrimp burger there, and the bottle of wine that we ended up ordering, I think, was $115. And there wasn't a whole lot. There was almost nothing under $100 on that wine menu, on that wine list.
That's too much.
And so it's just
too much.
It's absolutely, it just speaks to the, like when you see that $50 range bottle, you know, wine bottle prices on at restaurants now, that's the shocking part now.
Yeah.
And it has made me, that is definitely a huge piece of why I have avoided bottles of wine at restaurants recently.
Can I offer another Austin restaurant that will have reasonably priced bottles of wine?
Please do.
It's a place you and I have gone to together, Barrett. It's a place that both you and I like, and I don't go to enough, but Bufalina. Mm-hmm. The pizza place,
really
it's gotten
too.
A couple different locations in Austin for various reasons, but they really started as like a, I think the owner's passion truly is wine, and the pizza is just a secondary thing, but the pizza is really good, you know, stone-fired pizza. But like, I'm looking at their wine list right now, and it's all 54, 58, 58, 50.
Yep.
You know, the highest one I see on here is 66, gets up to 70 as you go down. But I mean, like, oh my God, like the NA wine is the most expensive bottle on the, on the list.
And that is, I mean, that's truly something when you think about how like a glass of wine, it seems to be like minimum $16 or $17 now. So that $60 price range is really nice for a bottle of wine out.
And yeah.
It's few and far between right now.
I mean, in the same cocktail vein.
RIP wine.
RIP wine. I want to bring up espresso martinis because I really think we're up against it. I think espresso martinis are going absolutely nowhere. I'd like to take you back to episode 072 of the Retail Therapy Podcast.
Okay.
We recorded it shortly after Sabrina Carpenter released Espresso. And I said, with a good marketing push and some good TikToks, I think this song could be huge. And sure enough, it's the number one song in the nation
now. It's very big, yes.
I think that this is, in terms of Spromarts, it's going to be tough to kick at this point with this song taking off as we enter summer. I don't think they're going to go anywhere. There will be at least one person, Instagram story on your feed, who has espresso martinis this weekend with That's That Me Espresso playing behind it. I had the question in here. Does Barry Keoghan dating Sabrina Carpenter help his baby girl status at all? I think if anything, like it's kind of hurting.
I explain that to me. Why do you think it's hurting?
Because, okay.
Let's just say I didn't ring the gong.
Thank you for not ringing the gong.
That should tell you all you need to know.
I feel like she's surpassing him right now.
Okay.
I feel like she's dominating the relationship. And I'm not saying he has to dominate the relationship to be a baby girl, but like,
yeah.
I feel like she's becoming like the focal point of their partnership right now.
Well, he ascended to a certain degree of celebrity with, as Randy mentioned, the Saltburn bump.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of immediately was dating Sabrina Carpenter, a new It girl. Mm-hmm. So in that way, I do see what you're saying. It's almost like he reached this level, and then instead of kind of like Paul Mescaling it out and like running around in short shorts, sprinting away from girls that he had just slept with the night before, he's just immediately with a pop star that's maybe eclipsing his level of fame.
Like, is the Lordy still dating Olivia Jade?
Yeah, he is.
I've never seen a photo of them together, or I haven't in months. You know, like it's been months since I can't even recall what a photo of them together would look like because they just don't post it, and it almost feels like he's single.
But Keoghan does seem like he just to borrow a line from the song, he's kind of wrapped around her finger.
Yeah,
he seems to be in tow.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's braving the crowds at Coachella to go see her, which I'm glad he's supporting her.
Right.
Good boyfriend.
Good BF. Yeah.
But like, I feel like it's like he shows up. Hey, where is Sabrina not here? Where's Sabrina?
I saw a funny tweet that basically the gist of the tweet, I'll paraphrase, was that espresso is a bop. But does Sabrina have the juice like Olivia Rodrigo?
It's an unfair comparison because I think Olivia Rodrigo has so much juice that comparing any pop star to her right now is tough. Like, from the second I heard Driver's License, I was like, oh, we got a star in our hands. Mm-hmm, and then every other song that I've heard from her, I'm like, yeah, these are really good songs. But I also just think Espresso is more of a pop song than a ballad. So it's not an even comparison since most of the songs that I'm not totally familiar with Olivia Rodrigo's complete body of work. The songs that I enjoy from her are very ballady, showcase the singing ability. Espresso's not showcasing that much.
Right. Ability. It's definitely more of like a little summer.
Yeah, it's a bop.
A little summer bop.
It's a bop, not an epic.
Yeah.
And there's a differentiation there.
While we're talking about young pop stars,
mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Gracie Abrams?
No.
Okay. She was the opener for Taylor Swift, I think, on a big leg of the Eras Tour.
Did I see
and
her? I think I saw her.
She has a new single out called Risk, which is very good. And I saw her on Jimmy Fallon, and she performed the song as well as sat down to talk to the host. And I think she's, speaking of people that have the juice, I think she's got it. She has like, she's described as a singer-songwriter, so very much in that like Taylor Swift model, but the songs are really, really like they're not too folky. They have a pop flavor to them that's really, really like engaging, and I think she is also likely to be a very big star.
Yeah, I can't remember who opened for us, unfortunately, and my Googles are not yielding anything. All right, we'll put it on the radar.
Also, I have her pulled up, and I'm learning that Gracie Abrams potentially a bit of a nepo baby here. Her dad is J.J. Abrams.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Well. The road may have been slightly easier for her, mm-hmm. you know. Who's to mm-hmm. say?
Yeah. Then she got the it's good to be a nepo baby, and then you get the Taylor bump, and suddenly you're like, yeah, oh, life is real easy.
Yeah,
this is great.
Yeah,
this is great. Articles of interest. We can breeze through these. There's nothing crazy today. New aesthetic of the week: Coppola Core. This one's not sticking with me. I don't think I've seen more than a couple of Sofia Coppola's movies, and I think that might be a bad reflection of me, not of her films. Mm-hmm. Airmail Weekly noted just, I think, newsletter that sends stuff out. They've got guest columns from people like Cassie David and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, yes, yep.
I think she might even be just involved in like the ownership of it. But it says, have you heard of Coppola Core? It's like Normcore, only not ugly, which I don't think Normcore is ugly. I think it's cool. Cottagecore, but not frumpy. Gorpcore without the fleece. Barbiecore, but not bright. So what is it? Coppola Core is pale pink and girlish. It can be gauzy and romantic, or as precise as custom as a Charvet shirt. Characteristic, is that how you say it? Okay, I just got scared. The characteristic messy bedrooms and dresser tops crowded with perfume bottles have inspired many millennial Pinterest boards and Gen Z TikTok, but the delicacy of the look belies the power beneath at its very Coppola Core. Like, so does this just kind of like, I don't really know how to describe this. Like, this isn't resonating with me as much as the other aesthetics do. And I feel like I got a pretty good thumb on the aesthetics.
You know what it feels like is it kind of feels like all those cores that it mentioned just toned down a little bit so mm-hmm. that they are not so core.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do I need to see more Sofia Coppola movies?
Well, I've just pulled up some of her films, and let's see, we've got On the Rocks from 2020.
On the Rocks felt too depressing to me from the premise standpoint, so I decided not to watch it.
Most recently was Priscilla.
I didn't see Priscilla. That had a Lordy.
Yes, it did. Yeah, yeah. The Bling Ring. Did you ever see The Bling Ring?
That's a movie that I need to see.
You should
see that. I would love that movie.
Famously, I think maybe her most critically successful movie, Lost in Translation, from mm-hmm. 2003.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I'm not a Sofia Coppola buff either. I think I've seen The Bling Ring, and that's it.
I've seen the beginning of Somewhere that she did in 2010, but yeah, Lost in Translation is really the most popular one, I'd say.
Yeah.
Lost in Translation just had, for any vinyl heads out there, they just had a Record Store Day release for the soundtrack of Lost in Translation that actually looked pretty cool, but it was sold out. I didn't want to buy it, but I wanted to at least see it and see if it was, you know, a nice production of it. But if you're interested in that, go check it out. Additionally, what else do we have in the articles of interest today?
Photo dump accounts?
Yeah. Does this make sense to you? Like, we know what Finstas are. Finstas are just like the Instagram account where you can get wild with it. Photo dump accounts are essentially the exact same thing. Okay. I don't know why we're trying to paint them as being the new Finsta.
So I've not read this column yet, Will. But what this sounds like is, do you remember how this used to be, but pre anybody could join Facebook when it was just for college students? Mm-hmm. This was the best part of Facebook, is that everybody would dump their photos from parties, from the weekend, from their point and shoot digital cameras, from the party photo crews at late nights, all that type of stuff, right? They'd go put all those, or from vacation, wherever, like all your photos, you just dumped them in a big album on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
So there's nowhere to do that anymore because we don't use Facebook. It's why like carousels on Instagram got popular because it's fun to see a lot of pictures at one time.
Yeah. So it even says,
is that kind of what this is?
It People says are the going photo just dump account
post
trend.
All their photos?
Yeah. It says the photo dump account trend is also a strong callback to the earliest days of Facebook. In 2006, it was a norm to bring a digital camera to get together so you could snap 100 blurry pictures and then upload every single one of them to a giant photo album with the name Summer Nights. Yeah. These photo dumps were chaotic in the best way. They had candid moments, bad angles, multiple shots of blah, blah, blah. But yeah. So it's just a much more like raw look of it. And I also think that now the younger generation is using their main Instagram account, which might just be at your name, mm-hmm. as their public account.
Right.
If I get Googled for a job, this is what you're going to find.
Yes.
If you, whatever. Yep. And so like having somewhere to dump stuff is, I recently started a burner Instagram account, which I know I'm not supposed to talk about your burner Instagram accounts, but I started one just for my film stuff because I don't feel like organizing those photos in a way. Like Randy is very impressive when it comes to building a folder hierarchy to store files in so they have easy access. Mm-hmm. Very impressive stuff from producer Randy.
It's the tech background.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I just thought having like a fake account, or not a fake account, just like a very anonymous account to have that. Mm-hmm. It's nice to be able to see it and then look back and be like, oh, I forgot about that photo. I'm going to go back. And so I've been doing that a lot more.
Okay.
Not saying what the ad is because I follow nobody and nobody follows me. And that's how I like it for now.
Yeah.
But like, I understand why people would want a different place to put stuff online as opposed to like their main feed that all their relatives follow, all their whatever. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, finally. I don't even know why I put this in here. I think I just put this in here for whatever reason. I don't know. Gen Z's obsessed with lip gloss, and it's just because of Hailey Bieber.
It's all her brand, her branded lip gloss?
Probably.
What happened to the Kylie lip gloss?
I don't know. What happened to Glossier? Is Glossier still done?
Yeah, we just saw a friend of the pod, Alex Rychek. I don't know. She was just posting from a Glossier shop.
I thought people were mad at Glossier for reasons.
Yeah, I think they were a little bit of a victim of some girl boss fallout.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
Okay.
But I think they're still, I don't think that Glossier has filed bankruptcy the way that some of the other, brands
I think there might have been
in that realm have. I think they're still going strong. But
I think there was also complaints from workers at Glossier, sales floor
some
workers. Yeah.
They're now Sally, she likes that's a lip oil. That's a lip oil.
Yeah. I can't even keep up.
Does that count as a lip gloss?
I don't know. It says here that there's glosses, balms, butters, oils, masks, and scrubs that have hit the market recently. Do you use anything on your lips?
Just some chapstick.
I don't even use chapstick.
Yeah.
And like the only way I can use chapstick is if I'm skiing and I got like windburn on my lips and I'm doing something like that. But it's purely utilitarian.
I always have a little chapstick on me, you know?
Oh, no.
No.
What, Randy?
No. I'm just thinking about... What you know about me? My lip gloss is popping.
Yeah,
lip gloss is cool.
There you go. Yeah, when I saw this on the rundown, that's what I thought about as well, Randy. Will, how about a little unboxing?
Oh shit! Oh wow! I was not expecting this, Barrett.
Yeah, I had to. And now I have to talk about it on the podcast because I'm owning up to this purchase.
Secondary market. Wow.
Yeah.
Have you opened these at all?
I have. I've looked. Okay. I've looked at
this. It looks really nice.
Because I had to, I was very, very nervous after all the sizing discussion online. And I ended up just ordering my usual Nike size.
Okay.
I did not size up from my usual Nike size because my usual Nike size is already like a half size up from what I wear in almost everything else.
Nike's true to size for me.
I've been
fortunate with Nike, but I also wear a lot of Nikes. So.
And so take my sizing recommendations with a grain of salt because I like my Nikes with room at the toe. I do not like my toe anywhere close to the front. So I typically have like about a thumb's width of room in all my Nike shoes.
Okay.
So my usual Nike size is a 9.5, ended up working perfectly, although these are very narrow. But beautiful box. This is the first must-have sneaker for me in 2 years, since the Tom Sachs GPS.
This is a really nice box.
Little velvet on the bottom, nice bow.
Yeah,
with the green and white.
They have the Bodhi touches.
Candy stripe. The shoes are very cool, Will.
You're gonna have to throw me one because I want to see.
Yep.
Do you have the little danglies on there?
The danglies arrive with the danglies on them. So I will I'll give you the one with more danglies.
Oh, you've even got the tag. Oh yeah, Barrett. Oh yeah.
But I think just gonna be a nice summer white sneaker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they're, they do feel kind of soft and flexible. They very much are like a like almost like a track shoe.
Yeah, they are.
They're very track shoey. They've got the waffle bottom and all that. So we'll see how they hold up. It's probably good that I'm not walking miles and miles and 20,000 steps a day in New York City in these.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how they would hold up to.
I agree.
To that type of beating.
The tread's pretty thick at the bottom. Yeah. It's gonna get worn down.
It's gonna get worn down. Yes, very much so. But I think I'm very, very happy with the purchase. Nice little summer sneaker.
You might have said this when we were talking danglies. Are you keeping them on?
Oh, you got to keep the danglies on.
Got to keep the danglies on.
How else would people know that this is not just, you know,
exactly.
some random ass white Nike sneaker?
Exactly.
The danglies is what sets them apart. This purchase will prohibit me from making any more the rest of the month.
Yeah, I'm making small purchases.
So I've got that going.
SPOs.
For me. Yeah.
Should we do some wishlist items?
Let's do it.
Mine's an imminent cop this week because I bought it in a in my slumber last night. As I was going to bed last night, I was just on eBay and I was just favoriting some stuff and just going through. Last night I really went down two different rabbit holes on eBay. One of which needs to wait till fall, but I was really looking at like vintage LL Bean coats from the 90s. And I've bookmarked about 100 of them at this point, and so that's imminent. But the real imminent cop is that I've officially purchased some vintage Patagonia shorts off of eBay.
Okay.
I'm just having so much trouble finding inseams that I'm enjoying right now. And I was like, you know what? To go forward, sometimes you have to go back. And so I'm going back to the 90s.
So you bought a pair of vintage Patagonia. These are baggies?
They're khaki shorts. Just straight up khaki shorts.
Okay.
6.5 inch inseam on one of them, and I think an even shorter one on the other, on the cheaper pair that I bought, but didn't spend over $60 on either pair. The cheapest one I bought was $25, and I was like, okay, I can spend under $100 on two pairs of shorts to see if anything can work. I'll try anything at this point. If I'm going to wear them to shit in Austin anyway, so they might as well already be dirty and worn in. It doesn't really matter to me. For shorts, I'm like, I don't really care. I don't know. I'm at a loss for everything right now when it comes to my summer wardrobe. It's too hot to have this many question marks in my wardrobe right now.
Well, all of the reels on my Instagram recently are telling me to go shop on eBay, and I've never really done it.
Here's the tips that I got.
There's something tough about it for me.
I don't know what it is. Well, you don't like vintage.
I like vintage. I like vintage in person. Okay. I like it when I can try it on.
I get it. I get that for sure. I mean, for me, like the tips that I got were if you don't have your exact measurements, just find whatever you're in love with, measure that and stack it up towards whatever they're doing. And people do a pretty good job of putting that stuff on there. If you're buying something from the 90s, an XL is probably an L.
Small. Yeah.
And yeah, it's like you just have to size down. And a lot of the sites or things will say XL fits like a large, whatever. And I don't know. I think it just takes an eye to like look at the stuff and suss out what, if anything, has like, you know, really aggressive stains on it or whatever. But this is my first foray in a long time doing something like that. So I'll report back when they arrive next week.
Yep. My wishlist item today is from a brand that is no stranger to the wishlist, Will. It is a pair of Garrett Light sunglasses. We are heading into the summer. And I famously lost my pair of Garrett Lights in Tokyo last year and have not replaced them since.
It's time.
I've got some $25 versions from J. Crew that have served me well, but I'm always on the lookout for something with a little bit more flair. And I tried this pair on. This is the Webster at the little Garrett Light shop down here on South Congress, and I really, really, really liked them. I was kind of surprised that I liked them because they almost have like a cat eye thing going on.
Yeah, they kind of do.
But they're nice and narrow, so they've got that kind of flare out, but they still are like they're not hanging off the side of your head, so you can still like wear them with a hat and stuff like this. And they are a part of the Essence private sale right now, so they're on a nice little discount for me. So maybe a June purchase for me if they're still hanging around and on a nice little discount.
I approve. Yeah. I approve. I recently got some new sunglasses and I feel like it's changed my life. I didn't upgrade for my Garrett Lights, but I have some Garrett Lights that I've loved for a long time, and I've done everything I can to protect them and make sure I don't lose them. They made it through Derby, so if they make it through Derby, they can make it through anything.
That's a great.
But I recently picked up some Crews from South Congress, and I'm very happy with them. Very happy. It's been a long time since I've had some really nice polarized lenses to like drive in.
That's a nice thing about Crew is that I feel like they mostly do polarized.
Yeah.
And don't charge you like an extra $400 for it.
They just shouldn't at this point. Like you're already spending a lot for frames that don't, like most sunglasses companies, like, you know, the frames aren't going to cost a ton. You're already paying a premium. Toss some polarized in there. So yeah, the Crew Parkers for anyone wondering. That's all I got today, Barrett.
Okay.
No episode next week. I'm going to be out of town Thursday, Friday. Randy's out early in the week. It's a research week. It's a research week. Maybe I'll come back with a bunch of Grateful Dead style takes from Las Vegas. We'll see.
Is that that's where you'll be?
That's where I'll be next week.
The Sphere.
Yep. I'm going to be sphering it all three nights. So it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be hot, Barrett. High of 99 on the schedule right now.
Wow.
So walk into the show is going to be a fun one.
So do you have a mesh tank queued up?
I need a mesh tank. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, I'm glad that the show is indoors.
Will you get a Grateful Dead inspired tattoo while you're in Vegas?
No.
No. Okay.
But someone I know is getting one. And like, I could easily see.
In Las Vegas?
I could easily see a couple beers deep Will being like, let's get tattoos. No, Sally. If Sally wasn't there, I might say there's a chance that I could get swindled into something. Not going to happen.
I just feel like the mullet is opening the door to all sorts of stuff.
Dude, the mullet's opening a lot of doors. Yeah. It's a lot. It has an aura to it. It changes you. So,
yeah. Who knows what you're going to find out there in the desert.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. All right. We'll see you guys next time.